This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah, never gets old. Halfway home on a Wednesday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Such a pleasure and honor to be here with you guys this morning. And I know there's a lot of you. Boss came running in hurriedly, again, out of breath, telling us about how many people were watching and listening. And we really, really appreciate that from him and from you guys. So just a beautiful, beautiful day here in San Diego. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. To my left, Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. And to my right, the very, very handsome and talented Brett Boone. Hey, buddy.
Guys.
How are you?
It's been a minute. Back in studio.
I'd love to have you in studio.
I like coming.
When Ben's out on a vacation, would you come in and co-host with me for a day?
Sure.
I'll pay you. What's your rate?
How much?
Like 20, 25 an hour. I'll give you $100 bucks.
No, I'm more like 400 an hour.
400 an hour? Wow.
Well, that's just for me to be here. If you need to shake hands, do stuff like that, it's a little more.
Well, I don't need an autograph session. I need you to come in and co-host.
All right.
$1,600 bucks it'll run me to have you come co-host.
Have you ever done those paid autograph sessions where you get like...
Oh, have you done those?
$60 a pop to sit there all day? And
yeah, and I feel a little funny.
Do you see it feels a little...
I like more of the greedy. Come in, we have an agreed amount of items I'm signing, back room, sign them, you leave.
That's great.
Take a few pictures, you're out.
I don't want to see the people turning in their credit cards.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, it's reality. It's life.
Of course.
It's business. But I like more. When my agent will book an appearance for me, I love when he says it's a meet and greet. You're going to take pictures, shake hands, tell some stories. I like that interaction better than the. Sit here. Did you pay for this? Did you pay for this item? Oh, and Brett, would you put 3-time All-Star? Well, that's extra. it seems just. Oh, I don't like it.
Yeah, I can't relate to that at all. That is very weird when someone asks me for my autograph. It's happened before. It's very, very strange. But I'm happy to do it.
Well, you know, when you're playing, it's one thing because I always went out of my way. I knew it wasn't. That's not my job to sign your autograph. But I also felt that the fans are what make us.
Yeah.
The fans are coming to the game, and I'd take time whenever I had, 10 minutes. I want to sign as many as I can.
Sure.
And you love when they're real fans. Fans that the little kid that just wants his glove signed to go to Little League practice and show people. That's what an autograph's all about. And today's it's such a business now. Mm-hmm. And when you'd go city to city to city, it's the same people, and it's organized.
With the binders.
And you know that has nothing to do. They could care less.
They don't care about the business. Player.
It's trading.
It's jarring to see an adult.
It's
a
very,
grown man with a binder.
And they get good because they get to the point where they'll have the adult, and they'll have the kid as bait.
Yeah. Yep.
And now you think it's this little cute kid coming out, and it's not because daddy's over there behind the tree with his folders.
Eagle-eyeing everybody. Yep.
And that's the bad part of signing autographs, but the great part was sitting on the dugout as a player and just having that line. And you know there are fans that just came today, and they just want something signed to say, hey, I was really at the game. So that's what the autograph's all about.
Well, if I'm paying $1,600 for somebody to be in studio, I can promise you her name will not be Brett Boone. That is one thing I promise you. $1,600?
So it's funny because someone just sent me this yesterday, and I was kind of floored. But it's coming up in October. It's a New York Mets 1986 World Series team meet and greet and autograph signing. And they have the price tag for each player, like Doc Gooden, $79. Daryl Strawberry, $99. Wally Backman, $59. Dave Magadan, $59. Someone named Lynch, $59. I don't even know some of these players on the team.
Or Dave Magadan gets $59.
Lenny Dykstra, $79.
And what is that for?
It's just like a big. They get them all together, like in a big convention hall, and they all sit at tables, and you can sign, and you can pay for them individually.
And New York is
That's the haven.
You can get the super ticket for $860. You get every player plus an autographed photo of all of them together. $860
Pass, man.
Do you guys remember, like, your first, well, as a kid, and it was a little bit different, Booney. Not everybody grew up in a baseball royalty
family. Yeah, no, we didn't spend a lot of time.
I never collected autographs.
Do you guys remember, like, your first autograph, your first time meeting a professional baseball player?
The first autograph I ever got was in the mail, and it was from Nolan Ryan. And I promise you it wasn't from Nolan Ryan. It was like a rubber stamp, but I wrote to the Texas Rangers to get autographs. I used to write letters to all the teams. You get those?
But if it's Nolan's stamp,
that means
it's Nolan's stamp.
That's true.
Nobody else has Nolan's. That's the problem, too, is in the mail. It used to be it's a harmless thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fans sending me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's an adult.
You send it to the you start sending stuff back through the mail. Now your mailbox gets flooded because they tell their buddy who's in the business, and now everybody's got the address, and it's kind of like, oh, he's signing through the mail. So I don't know. It's a catch-22.
I mean, I'm not now, and even wasn't as a kid, a guy who wanted autographs.
I'm
I just
with you,
didn't.
Ben. I wasn't either.
I do remember my first grade teacher, though, knowing I was a huge Padres fan. It was 1984 or 83. And they just signed Steve Garvey, and she showed me a napkin. Like, she was at a restaurant and saw him, and like, hey, Ben, look, I got Steve Garvey's autograph on this napkin.
And Ben's like, I don't care.
I was like, okay, well, it's cool that she saw Steve Garvey in person.
When I was 5 years old, my first baseball game ever going to at the Kingdome up in Seattle, former Mariner, former Padre, outfielder Darren Bragg signed my hat, and I thought, he's the greatest player of
this is the greatest
best
moment
player
of
I've
my
ever
life.
Seen.
Yeah.
Wow. Curtis, there's a team full of Griffies, Randy Johnson, Alex Rodriguez, and I'm like, Darren Bragg,
Curtis,
that's my guy.
Curtis Wilkerson threw me a ball from essentially second base. And when I was like 10, and I had my glove, and he was like, I was holding it up, and he goes, and he slung it over, and I caught it. And my buddy that was with me was like, oh, my God.
Did you catch it?
I caught it, yeah, 100%.
Because you know what is coming up soon, and you know I'm back.
Let's go.
For the
Fantasy Camp.
Nice.
Yeah.
I will have my eye on. Well, I'm not so worried about Paulie anymore. I'm more worried about Woodsy.
You know I'm all glove, no hit, man. That's fine. That's fine. All glove's never been a problem. Brett Boone joins us in studio this morning. So that was something last night, certainly.
Pretty exciting.
Pretty exciting ending. I couldn't speak really when it ended, and you know, you talk about we were just talking to Adam Jones about the baseball IQ to know, like, hey, I actually have a shot at this triple play here. You know, playing infield. I try to teach my kid. It's just the wheels always turn, right?
It's got to be the perfect positioning in the ground ball. It's got to be the perfect runner
speed, the perfect speed of the ball. Everything.
Right. It's got to be the right runner running. So he can,
yeah.
you can beat it. It was a tremendous turn. See, I always look at that. I look at the turn.
I know you do. And
yeah.
I saw
there's a great turn.
I think I saw Grant Brisby make the point. Like in the old days, Jake doesn't get to make that turn because he is taken out by like a shoulder by Joe Morgan coming
right.
in.
In the old days, too, he's playing first base, so he never makes a turn.
That's exactly right.
And I've said this from the beginning. I love Cronenworth at second base. I always have. I think that's a part of his appeal, a part of his value is playing second base. At first base, it's almost sometimes like, and he's still a young player.
And
it's
he's good
like,
at first, but
right, it's almost
like
my value's at second. Okay, now I'm at first. Do I have to do more offensively?
Right.
When I'm just comfortable at second doing what I do.
Anyway, it's a good point.
It was a great turn. The pitch before, they're bunting.
Yeah.
They're in a bunting situation. All of a sudden, they took the bunt off.
Well, incredible.
But I don't think, you know, at this stage, it's like, it's great the Padres clinch. You kind of knew, foregone conclusion. They could have lost out and still playoffs,
yes.
probably. It's
Wouldn't
always
it
nice
suck,
to get it
though.
Done.
Yeah.
You know, Dodgers are trying to clinch the division. But it's, you know, it was a great ending, great win for the Padres. But at the same time, it's inevitable. They're both going to the postseason.
Yeah, and you got, you know, again, the fun part, I think, for Padres fans, Brett, is go out and beat them again. You know, go out and beat them again today. Go out and beat them and really make them sweat for a division that they did not think they would be sweating for.
Are they not 8-3 against the Dodgers?
They are, yeah.
I mean,
so that's probably what it is. We just
you think that's
energy.
An insult?
I always take everything.
You take that as an insult. Some people would say it's a compliment.
No,
hey, look at how much energy the Padres are bringing. You see it as
I know the subject.
We're more talented. We're just not.
Yeah,
we're just not trying as hard as them, and that's why we're losing. It's an insult in your mind.
It's always an insult.
I see it as a soundbite.
It's a passive aggressive insult, and it always has been. You know, it always has been from Dave. Dave's never admitted Padres are you know, better than us right now. So, and that's just how it is. Sorry. Nothing personal.
I mean, there aren't any managers who admit another team is, well, I mean, sometimes you see it. But when you're fairly equal in the standings, you're not going to sit there and go, yeah, that team's just better than us right now.
If I were a manager, I'd say this team has kicked the crap out of us, you know, eight out of 11 times, and we got to play better. We're better than this.
It's how you say it. It's who says it, how it's taken. The bottom line is the Dodgers have a better record than the Padres.
Right. That's exactly right.
So I'm not going to say that about my team.
Yeah.
But maybe as a motivator, hey,
figure it out.
They're kicking our butt. Kicking
I think the Dodgers will be highly motivated these next 2 days. They didn't have to use their, you know, back end of the bullpen, so they're fresh. They didn't pop any champagne bottles last night.
No.
You know, they're coming in hot and trying to win this game big time, but they have to do it against Dylan Cease tonight, which, you know, great equalizer when you go up against a power arm like that, Booney.
It doesn't get easier. You know, the entire Padres, the staff is really solid. The starting rotation is solid. Then you get to the bullpen. You know, I know Suarez has had some hiccups recently, but those acquisitions at the trading deadline are just, and they're just lurking. You know, and to go with an already decent pen, you go from decent pen to arguably best pen in the National League.
Super pen, yeah.
And it's pretty awesome, and everybody knows it. And I've said it all year, you know, are the Padres the most talented offense? Probably not, but there's something about them. I've been to a few games this year.
Together,
and
the way they work.
And there's something you see, and you can't really... You can't say why. It's just a feeling, an aura that they kind of have, and they're really having fun, and it seems like they really like one another. That's when you get that true team chemistry. Is like when you're somebody asked me about chemistry, and I said it's when you genuinely can sit on the top step and cheer for your teammate.
Yeah, you told us that, and you said it doesn't always happen.
You always do the right thing. You clap when you're supposed to clap.
Exactly. You show
you
up,
say way to go.
High five.
But when you're genuinely cheering for one another, that's when you got something special. I'm not down on the field. I'm not in that clubhouse. But from what I see as a fan watching, they've got that.
Yeah.
That's pretty special.
You know, we love story time with Brett Boone. And since we've got him in studio,
what do we got?
When we come back, well, since we just saw the champagne bottles popping last night, I want to ask you about your most memorable celebration in your baseball career. And if it ever happened, having another team celebrate on your field, like the Padres did on the Dodgers last night. So we'll get to that coming up. And our chat reminds me that Dave Roberts does sometimes offer unsolicited praise if you know him well enough.
Ben, you do a great job.
See? Yeah.
Why are you defending Dave Roberts?
I mean,
he does
praise occasionally.
Go Dave Roberts.
We'll come back with more Brett Boone in studio right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. Most people, whatever their line of work, radio host, you know, working in an office somewhere, lawyer, you don't have champagne popping celebrations in the office. That is something that is fairly exclusive to sports and even more exclusive to baseball. And in baseball, they do it more than any other sport. I mean, you've got clinch the playoffs, clinch the division, clinch the wild card series, divisional series, championship series, world series. I mean, you could have as many as, what, five champagne popping celebrations if you do it right and you go all out every single time. And we've had this discussion, Woods. Maybe dial it back a little bit, you know, save it for the, you know, the big one at the end, and the argument that, hey, this is special. You're not going to do it very often. Enjoy yourself. You've earned it. And we got Brett Boone in studio. So I wanted you to just tell me, like, what was your most memorable champagne popping celebration, and what your overall thought is on celebrations now in baseball?
Well, I think they're a part. They always have been. Nowadays, with the schedule, and it's now not really the postseason. It's more of a tournament.
Yeah,
you know, it used to be the playoffs. Now it's a tournament. So there's like Ben was saying, you've got potential to do it five times if things go perfect. For me, the first time I went to the playoffs, 1994, we had a great team in Cincinnati. We kind of were wire to wire first place, and but that was the strike year, so that got canceled. We didn't get to celebrate. So the next year, we did the same thing, 1995, and that was the first time when we won the division. That was my first champagne celebrate, and it was really cool. So that's the one I remember the most. We ended up going to beat the Dodgers. That was big for us. I remember Tommy Lasorda coming over and congratulating. I thought it was a real class act. In the middle of our party,
Then that we is had, a class move, we, actually, now that I think about it.
It made me think very highly of Tommy. And I always loved Tommy as a character.
I've heard some great stories about that guy. Yeah. Holy cow.
Then I went to the Braves. It was the next time I got to the postseason. And their attitude was kind of lunch pail. And it was kind of down to the shares that you the shares meeting at the end of the year when you sit around and guys start.
This is fascinating. If you don't know what he's talking about, all right, Brett, explain what the shares is in a second.
All right, shares meeting at the end of the season when you go to the postseason, you sit down, and you have a shares meeting. It's players only, and you sit there and you vote on who's going to get a share of this playoff feed, no matter how far you go, because at each level there's a certain amount of money that teams in the playoffs get.
Like a star player, obviously you're getting a full
share. No. It's kind of if you're on the roster and you're a full time player, start to finish, you get a full share. Right. That's just what it
but
is.
But for guys who maybe were traded away or traded came away. Up in the middle of the season.
Right.
The players get to decide. You're getting a 50% share.
Guy that came up and sat on the bench for four months and played once in a while might not get as much as a guy that came up and played every day. Nowadays, I think they pretty much go on time to eliminate the
hard feelings. Yeah.
And it's just how many days do you have? That's what your share is. So anyway, you get to the shares, and now you get the coaching staff, and they usually get a full share, and obviously the manager gets a full share. Now you go to traveling secretaries. Do they get a share? Does the grounds crew get a share? So I remember we're in Atlanta, and this is my second time going to the postseason, and Tommy Glavine, I'll never forget, he's leading the meeting. He's kind of was the captain of the meeting, and they're going around. They're giving shares to everybody. They're like, let's give three to the grounds crew, and I raised my hand. I said, what about the hot dog guy? And I remember Tommy looks at me, kind of a wry smile, and he goes, Booney, hey, we here in Atlanta, we go to the postseason every year, so we take care of our people.
Oh, wow.
And he starts laughing, and I start laughing. You know, like, he's right. They've been to the postseason 10 years in a row.
Wow.
I'm just kind of, I said, well, Tommy, guys, like, you know, some of us in the room, we had just come over. Brian Jordan was a new player. We had a few new guys. I said, for the rest of us, this is kind of new for us.
Yeah.
You know, this is my second one. And it was kind of a laughing situation, but I understood. Anyway.
And keep in mind, like, for a player, the playoff money is fine, but their salary usually is pretty big, and it's just a little bonus. If you give a full or even a half share to a clubhouse attendant, that may triple their salary the entire year. That's life-changing money.
And in Seattle, where I kind of had a lot more, I kind of ran that meeting.
Yeah.
You know, we had crew behind the scenes that really worked hard.
Sure.
And there were four of them, and the Bat Boys. And we'd give the Bat Boy, you know, a Bat Boy get an eighth of a share. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm working for $9 an hour. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
so 100%. It's cool. The guys that really put the effort in throughout the year and to reward them with even a share, half share, quarter share, it's really cool to see how that changes their life. So you always want to try to take care of the guys that take care of you along the way.
I don't know the answer to this, Brandon, and I'm curious. Broadcasters that work for the team, like Don and Mutt and Jesse and Tony,
usually
no shares?
No, usually it's a traveling secretary, the PR guy.
Yeah.
He might get a little bit. It goes to the grounds crew. In Atlanta, we gave the grounds crew a share. Or we might have given them two shares to split. So it was interesting. Getting your question about the champagne. So in Atlanta, the champagne celebration was kind of low-key, like, the narrative was, we do this every year. It's not that big of a deal. So when we clinched, it was kind of a real low-key celebration. And as we won more, they got a little more boisterous. We won the next round. Then we went to the World Series, and we didn't get to have champagne in the World Series. But fast forward to my Seattle years, we won 116 games. That was the first celebration. But we were coming off 9/11, so it was a little bit of a dismal celebration.
Yeah.
Now you clinch. Well, we clinched. You know, when you win 116, you're usually going to clinch. And then it was the next round and the next round. So long story short, and I know I'm being long-winded about
it. We don't care.
But
keep going.
Keep going.
The celebrations tend to get a little bit better as you win.
Sure.
You know, you win the first series, it's a little bigger than winning the division. And then you win the next series. Whoa, one step closer to that World Series. Maybe let your hair down a little more. So that's basically how they go.
The craziest thing, I think, is how many baseball players I know that played in the minors that had the ability to go out and get absolutely just schnocked the night before a game and then go out and play well. And it's crazy. Like, I couldn't have a beer the night, a couple beers the night before. I'd be like, I'm out. I'm not going to be at my best. My focus is going to be up. A lot of them were like, hey, playing hungover, I feel relaxed, and it makes me focus. Like, for you, could you do that? I feel like you could. I feel like you were pretty good.
I really could.
I had a feeling. Now
those are the old days. Those are my partying days. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
But I'd have to say, I had a few days where you had to kind of tape my eye open to get out there. Wait, it's like, where were you last? Oh, nowhere.
Nowhere.
That's why I laughed at the. And it's not funny, but the kid got sent down.
C.J. Abrams, former Padre.
Yeah, I just went, what is this? What is this, J.C. ball? Oh. Did you get in trouble? The bottom line is, you're a grown man. If you're not getting the job done, well, then you get sent down. But
he was getting the job done at the time. He's hitting really well.
I've had a few of those 8 a.m.s where, no, got a day. I forgot we had a day game. I thought we were a game of the week. I thought it was 6 o'clock.
Man, but, you read the stories about Mickey Mantle, like, I'd say being out all night. Oh, my God.
I wouldn't suggest doing it on the regular, but
you got to howl at the moon every now and then.
If I say I entered the clubhouse a few days, a little off my game.
Sure.
And I'll tell you, I had some unbelievable results. I remember one time, and this other guy, one of my best friends in the game, Seattle, we're in Chicago. And it was it.
Best city.
We go out, and it's 5 in the morning.
They don't shut down until 5.
I haven't gone to sleep yet. And I'm thinking, we're the game of the week. We got the ESPN game, 5 o'clock. I'm sitting there in my unnamed teammate's room, and we're kind of, he's getting his suitcase packed because it's getaway day. And he goes, well, it's time to go to the ballpark. I said, what are you talking about? We got a 5 o'clock game. He goes, no, bus is at 8:30. I said, what time is it? 5:15. I said, we got a day game? I went out that day.
Oh, my God.
I got 3 hits. I was as locked in as I've ever been. And I'm sitting there. Every time I got a hit, I'm kind of looking at my partner, and he's going, how are we doing it? And I'm going, I don't know. But, yes, I've had some games like that. Like I said, wouldn't suggest it, not on the regular. Glad my party days are long behind me. But you're young. You can bounce back.
Yeah, quick.
And you get to a point where you can't bounce back.
Yeah.
And I joke about this stuff, and it's funny. And I had a great time playing. But the players today, it's a different world. They talk about REM sleep. They've got computers telling them how much sleep they need to get.
14 hours a day or something. Like,
they take care of themselves a lot better.
They do.
Now, we were getting to an age where I really took care of my body as far as my diet and my training. But yeah, we'd go out and turn it loose. And it was a different time. It wasn't social media where now you're a big league player and you go out. There's cameras in your face
toast,
all over the place. In my day, you still had that anonymity where people know who you were, but it wasn't about taking a picture and telling everybody where you were.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't have that. You don't have that privacy anymore. So the players today,
they're smarter about
it. They're a lot smarter about it. They have technology. They really. Like you said, I joke about the REM sleep, but they really think tonight I need to get X amount of hours of sleep. And there's not big drinkers. My grandpa used to tell me stories about back in the 40s and 50s. They had these train trips, the Mantle days, where it was big time. My dad's generation was the 70s and 80s and 90s a lot.
You that told us the Mickey Mantle story?
No.
Good luck in Cleveland?
No.
So, I just got a text reminding me from my mom. My dad's dad was good friends with Don Larson and was there the night before he threw the perfect game in the World Series.
Yeah.
They were out drinking until 1 a.m. the night before.
The night before he threw a perfect game in the World Series. It's the culture. I mean, we had skippers in our day when things weren't going good, like the reverse curfew. Like, if I catch you in before 12.
Yeah. I love that.
There's a fun.
Get out, be together, have fun, get cut loose, forget baseball.
Right. Be that guy that you're not.
Yeah, be the guy you're not.
Woods is going to impose
because
a reverse
the guy that you are,
on me one day.
Yeah, but I'm going to do the guy that curfew. You are is not getting any hits and it's not making any pitches in big positions.
So the story somebody told us, I cannot remember who it was, but they said about Mickey Mantle, he showed up, right as the train was leaving from St. Louis. I can't remember where, but it was on the way to Cleveland. And he had two girls with him, one on each arm. And they said, Mick, you know the rules. You can't bring girls on the train. And he goes,
I'm Mickey Mantle.
It was Tim Flannery.
Tim Flannery. And he says, good luck in Cleveland. And starts to walk away. And they're like, it's fine. And breaks them back out. They're like, good luck in Cleveland then. And just was going to leave. And they're like, they just let him on with the girls.
Well, it's Mickey Mantle.
It's Mickey Mantle, right?
You kind of make exceptions.
It's phenomenal.
We got Brett Boone in studio. Going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, another segment. And I want to look ahead now to the postseason. Teams he likes, what it takes to now advance in October with Brett Boone on Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. What a treat today. Brett Boone is in studio on a Big League Wednesday. All of our baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits, still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Going to get his thoughts on the upcoming baseball postseason after a quick check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So, Brett, from a fan perspective, it certainly seems like some of the things you need to be successful in the playoffs. You know, really good bullpen. You can't be blowing leads because, you have a 4-2 lead and you lose it. That's an easy way to lose a series, in 5 or 7 games. Obviously, you need deep starting pitching because, you got a fourth starter who's got a 6 ERA. That's a way to lose a series.
We've been there, yeah.
But the one thing you can't quantify is that clutch element, that it comes, it goes, even for the clutch teams. Padres have had a really clutch team this year, but not every single day of the year. And that, to me, is the randomness of the postseason. Like, who's going to be clutch in October? Who even gets those opportunities to come up? What's your formula for postseason success?
I don't think there's a formula.
No.
I think it's, I look at the greatest player I've ever seen is Barry Bonds, and he was horrible in the postseason until later in his career. And then he was unbelievable. So I don't think there's a rhyme or reason. You talk about pitching from my generation. Randy Johnson was huge. Schilling was huge. John Smoltz was a horse when it got to the postseason. There's certain guys had that reputation. But I don't think there's a rhyme or reason to it. I think the landscape of the playoffs in 2024 is so much different than it's ever been. And we were talking about it. It's not the playoffs anymore. It's like a tournament. It's like March Madness. There's 12 teams. The player in me hates it because I really held on to that 162, and I thought, that's what it's all about, the grind. Who's standing at the end of 162? Now, we saw a year ago, you can pretty much play 500 and get into the postseason. So as a player, I hate it. Now, as an analyst, as a fan, I freaking love it.
I think it's so much fun, man.
It's so awesome. So many cities are involved, so much longer. I think it puts eyes on Major League Baseball better than it ever has. And they're kind of following the formula, the NBA, NFL, is get as many teams in there as you can and have a kind of a round robin. That being said, I think you go to yesteryear, you go to the past, even my generation, but especially the generation before mine, where there were two teams from each league. Two.
That's it.
Four teams in the postseason. Usually at the end of that year, it was the 162, who's still standing. And then that World Series champ was usually the best team in baseball.
Huh?
So you had it, but a lot less excitement, a lot less cities involved. People are turning into the NFL. In the beginning of August,
it's showcasing a lot more players
but
and a lot more talent.
In playoffs, do you still feel like the best team wins the World Series?
I definitely don't, and I'm not saying they can't win the World Series, but
isn't that what you love about March Madness? That the Aztecs can, if they get hot at the right time, win a championship. Whereas
the March Madness is a little more. It's more like the Little League World Series.
Yeah.
We've got to win 57 games. And I think baseball, all in all, is a different sport than basketball, than is the NFL.
I don't think it's fair to simply throw up your hands and go, it's a crapshoot. Let's just, darts at the board. The better teams still have an advantage.
Okay.
Now,
all right,
you're going to get upset, and when you have more rounds, it's much harder to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
But you put a good pitching staff together. You got your aces on the mound in a short series. You should win that series against an inferior team.
Look at the team that jumps off the paper at me is the Phillies. When they beat the Potteries a couple of years ago, you go, oh, dude, nobody's getting these guys. I mean, they're the hottest team. Castellanos is diving around making plays. Harper is so locked in. And then they get to the Diamondbacks last year, and it was like, what happened? A day went by. Like, where's
they
that looked, team?
They went from unbeatable to losing three in a row and being out of the playoffs.
Well, yeah. I think with baseball and why is it is so – it's different. Okay. Let's go to the 90s of the Atlanta Braves. They won one World Series.
One.
That was as dominant of a pitching staff and team as there's been.
Ever.
Okay, you look over to the AL during the 90s, the Cleveland Indians.
Oh, they were.
They won zero.
So good.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying about best teams in baseball. Fast forward to today, and I can only, my experience is since I've been on this side of the mic and being an analyst, and this is my job to break this down and tell you. And, man, 4 years ago when I started doing this, I was the guru. You know, I'm like, all right, let me tell you who's going to win. And at the end of the, you know, World Series, I'm standing there going,
who?
I have no clue. How do you do this? Yes. You know, you talk about Philly, and I think right now Philly, the thing that's not talked about in Philly that they have over every other city, man, there's something special about Philly right now and that new ballpark and that postseason atmosphere. We saw it a year ago.
Yeah.
They looked unbeatable. Like, it's over. Arizona was down two games. They went into Philly and won that. It's one of the biggest shockers I've seen in sports in my career.
It was shocking.
Going into Philly, Arizona Diamondbacks beating them in Philly in that atmosphere was unbelievable. So that's what I'm talking about. A year ago, Texas Rangers win the World Series, and they piecemealed that bullpen, and I got to give credit to the players first and foremost. But Bochy, the way he ran that bullpen, and he just kind of threaded that needle.
He did.
And they won a World Series.
A friggin'
Arizona
World Series.
Diamondbacks limped in, barely had a .500 record, and are two games away from winning the World Series. So that's why I think it's so hard to predict, and I'm trying. I'm at home, and I still think, all right, what I've seen, this is what I think.
Yeah.
But then I laugh at myself because I really don't know. I can tell you on paper who my opinion is, who should win and why they should win. But then it's unbelievable. I have no idea. L.A. Dodgers is a perfect example in recent times. They've kind of been the dominant organization. Winning 100-plus games kind of is, until this year has been kind of – just normal for them. They won one World Series, and it was the COVID year.
Yep.
It was 20. So it's you never know. You never know. I got, you know, I'm sitting there watching an Atlanta Braves team that's got the best pitching in the National League. They're on the outside looking in right now. They're a half game out. There are no guarantees that they're even going to the postseason.
And then you look at a team like the Mets, and you're like, okay, Severino,
is that the formula?
Is that the
formula?
In the world, right?
How about Detroit Tigers?
The Detroit
Tigers. Where'd you come from?
Right.
You know, the math works against everybody. In baseball, if you win three out of every four series all year long, you're one of the best teams in baseball.
Yep.
I mean, you're just consistent. You are winning all year. You're probably close to 100 wins. If you win three out of four series in the playoffs, you're eliminated by the one that you lost. And you're still a great team, but you're eliminated. The math works against everybody. What do you think, Brett, about the layoff? Padres would love to win this division. They could clinch the number two seed and have a week off then, you know. And some people say get rusty and fall apart. And I think in the last 2 years when they've had this bye week, you've only had three of the eight teams that had the bye actually reach the National League Championship Series. Five of the teams from the wild card round have made it.
Which is awesome.
But the math doesn't work because there's been 16 wild card teams. Five of them have made the NLCS. There's been eight division champs with a bye. Three of them have made the NLCS. It actually is a higher percentage of the bye teams that make it.
Yeah.
Because you forget about the wild card teams that lose in the first round.
Right, of course.
You go, oh, that wild card team won in the first round, and then they went on to the NLCS. Well, you got to remember that half of those wild card teams were eliminated before they even had a chance to play in the division series. So how do you view that week off and the bye and skipping the wild card round?
Well, logic would say I want to get into the barn as fast as I can, which means I probably won in the division and I clinch and I got a high seed. So that's logic. Yeah, I don't want to go down to the wire and barely make it in because then I have no guarantee. So I want that guarantee. And logic would say having a break, you know, there might be some ailments. Get my guys ready. But I think history has said, well, maybe not. You know, I was doing a show and Tim Salmon came on. And he was talking about, Timmy does some, I think, pre and post for the Angels now. And he said, Booney, that year in 2002, when we were fighting like a dog just to get into the postseason. They ended up winning the World Series that year. He said, when we got there, we had been in playoff mode for a month.
Yeah.
And nobody knew we'd hit them when we kept rolling. We already had a month of experience. These guys were flat-footed, and we caught them flat-footed. We ended up winning the World Series. He said, so for us that year, I think if we don't have to fight and claw down to the wire, I don't think we win the World Series. It was a great point. I'd never heard it put that way. Nowadays, the game and the way the game is different, the injuries are plentiful. It's unbelievable the injuries I see. It seems like every day somebody's out. Pitcher's out. Oh, 15-day IL. Somebody gets hit by a pitch. They're on the IL before they get in the dugout.
Yeah, 100%.
Everybody's getting hurt. So I think being healthy is at a premium like it never has been in Major League Baseball. It's much more important than it's ever been in the game. I don't know. I still think it's a sample size with this new formula, with this new postseason, the 12 teams. But I think if it keeps trending in the direction, you've got to mix it up. How do you do that? Possibly, because you have to give the advantage to the team that won the 162.
Of course.
You got to give. How do you give it? Maybe you give them all home games.
Yep.
I don't know what the formula is. That's something I think in the coming years when the data proves it out, what they're going to do. But if it doesn't, it's not showing that it's a huge advantage for the team that was best for 162, you got to find a way to give them advantage because I think they earned it.
I think specifically from Padres' perspective, as well as they've played, they're the number one team since the All-Star break. You go, don't let them lose this momentum. I think having a week off for Manny on his elbow and Tatis on his stress reaction and a rise on his thumb and all, awesome, as you said, all the bumps and bruises that they have been nursing and playing through, getting them closer to a full strength. They're never going to be 100%, but getting them closer to that is way more valuable than throwing them out there for two or three games in a dangerous wild card series.
Well,
give me the bye every day, every year.
You saw LA media up in arms when they got the bye and then didn't advance, and you saw Atlanta media up in arms, and I came on the air and I said, you can write it down. If this happens to the Padres and they don't get it done, it's not on the system. It's on the guys that didn't get it done.
Here's what I would say to that.
You had the week to rest.
In 2022, the Dodgers, that's what you heard. Oh, we had that week off.
Yeah.
Look what it impacted us. They also didn't play a lot of meaningful September games.
Correct.
We've been saying for like 2 months now, as the wild card race got so tight.
Yeah, it got so tight.
And you're looking at this week in particular. Dodgers, Diamondbacks on the road. Could it be for the wild card? Could it be for the division? Whatever. He said those are going to feel like playoff games.
And they
so the
did.
Padres are going to get a week of, they're going to get six playoff-like games.
So maybe keep it rolling is what you're saying?
No, I'm saying.
Oh, you're saying
I don't need any more playoff games.
They got the experience.
Give them the rest.
You got to find something to play for. You always have to find something to play for. And whether it's a year, you got to wake up in the morning and have a purpose going to the ballpark. And if you're out of the race, You got to knock somebody else out of the race to keep it going. I think Detroit figured that out. Detroit, they were done.
They're just having fun,
all of a sudden,
man.
They're in the postseason being a spoiler.
Yep.
The Padres, they're playing meaningful games. It's not realistic. The math doesn't really work in their favor. But mathematically, they could win the division.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying they're battle tested.
So let's go. Let's go.
Keep it rolling.
Yep. Let's win the division. They tell us we can't.
When the Dodgers win the division by 18 games, they're like, we've been on cruise control. We've been setting our rotation since September 1st.
Usually, right. Yeah, 100%. 100%. All right, we're about to go to break.
Yeah, I think, Boone, you're going to stick around at least one more segment.
You got
him in studio. That's great. I want to ask Brett when we come back about a couple of the baseball issues. You played in the AL West for many years. Today and tomorrow, the last two games in Oakland at the Coliseum, and the situation going on right now. I feel like their owner kind of insulting their fans a little bit the last couple of days. See if you have some Oakland Coliseum memories going in there with the Seattle Mariners.
And how excited would you be to go play in Sacramento on 110-degree turf at a minor league ballpark for some of your games next year if you were an opposing player?
I'd love to hear Brett Boone's thoughts on contract incentives, too.
Ooh, Rowdy Tellez. We have not talked about that yet. Terrible, terrible business.
We will get to all of that. Final hour of Ben and Woods coming up on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.